Well, I'm so pleased to be here this afternoon to do this interview with you and to have your narration. Perhaps we could start by your giving your name.
My name is Antonio Manet.
And your place and date of birth, which you gave it before, but put it on the tape.
I was born in Italy. Teramo, Italy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the Abruzzi,
Abruzzese
province, and when?
1933.
In March of
1933.
And then we can get to the interesting stuff. How was it that you came to work in the elevators? Well, yes. How old you were? Did you migrate to Canada first?
I came in Canada in 1959.
So you would have been 26
In
or
February,
so.
I came in February 1959. Mm-hmm. And then I worked in the construction and car wash for a while, supersonic car wash for a while.
Yes.
And then there was some opening, and with the Manitoba Pool in there, I went to work with a friend in Manitoba Pool in there. Mm-hmm. We worked 2 months, just about 2 days before 2 months, we laid off, and then I started again in 1963.
So you were there briefly in 1959, was it, as early as that?
Yeah, that's the
And then 4 years later.
Yeah.
And from that time onwards?
From that time I worked with Baron McQueen, mm-hmm. with the construction.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then we had a good time, yeah. We had good... Yeah. All the way, whatever it was. I've never been unemployed once. I don't even know what the employment insurance look like.
Well, that's splendid.
Sure, because you work and everybody say you, they don't let you go. You know, they need you, then we managed so far. Yeah.
Were there a lot of Italian men working at Manitoba Pool?
Oh, lots of Italian, yes.
And so I suppose you became a member of the Italian Mutual Benefit Society, did you?
Oh, of course, yeah.
On the north side,
north
you're
side,
in,
yeah.
in Cumberland, or Algoma, rather.
Algoma, yeah.
And so I guess, did the society serve as kind of a recruiting hall for Manitoba Pool? You know, guys who were there?
No, they have nothing to do with the Italian.
But the people who were there would, you know, if you were looking for work, they'd say the Manitoba Pool would be a good place to work.
Well, oh yes, that time there was, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you worked there for how many years?
For 35 years.
35 years. From 63 to
1998.
Yeah. Wow.
We started with the shovel, you know.
Okay, well, yes, how did... And you worked for Manitoba Pool, that's the next question. What kind of work did you do? So you started with a shovel.
We started with a shovel in the boxcar.
Emptying the boxcars.
Oh, empty the boxcar. And then they pulled me in with the millwright because I was a little handyman a little bit. They cement worker, breaker layer thing, you know.
Yes.
And I went with them. I done all the maintenance in there the most of the time. After when I started to get old a little bit, then I went up to foreman.
I see.
At the hand.
Right.
Then since we retired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just to review that, then you did the hard work in the boxcars for a little while.
Well, you got to learn to start at the beginning and then, you know.
And then you were, because of the construction millwright type skills, you were saying.
Yes, yeah.
You got into maintenance and you worked.
The company sent us for, I think, I forget how many weeks in your Confederation College to refreshment the course for the millwright for a while.
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We passed the course and there we got in a job.
Sure. Did being a millwright was a pretty good position to have?
Pretty good position, yeah.
As against the fellows who were sweating in the cars, eh?
Well, but after the car, then the damper come, eh? The,
yes.
When the company, they put the damper in, so you don't have to shovel no more the damper. Then the aromatic is just to open them up, they hatch the car, and easy.
Once these hopper cars came along,
it
made it even simpler. Yeah. Do you don't remember, I suppose, when the the unloading, the mechanical unloading of the boxcars started? Or do you remember when that was?
No, I don't remember exactly when they put it into the dam, but no.
Did it happen in those first years already, in the 1960s?
But the Manitoba Pool, the Pool 1, they put it in brand new when they built the elevator. The same year when they built the elevator. They built the elevator, put it in the dam.
Sure.
But then a few years later, they done Pool 3 too.
Mm-hmm.
They built another piece of building up past the net. And make it suitable for the dumper, the dumper car.
Yes. When they went to the dumpers, I suppose they didn't need as many workers, or was it just that the work became easier? Did it reduce the workforce?
Oh, they become easier. Mm-hmm. Of course, with the dumper, I've been a dumper man too for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A time before they got the mirror ride, I went out used to be a dumper man and everything.
But I guess I'm wondering whether it saved labor, whether it took fewer workers or were there still as many workers there. They just didn't have to sweat quite as much.
But still the company, they expanded, they would grow, and then they get the job for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We was working over 300 people in there with the Manitoba Pool at that time.
And so this would increase the throughput of wheat or of grain. They could handle more grain with the equipment.
And the more grain, yeah.
300 workers, eh?
Well, we had a lot of people in there. Yeah.
And it was in the two different elevators that you were mentioning.
Well, we had Pool 1, mm-hmm. Pool 3, and we had Pool 9. And we used to go Pool 2, they open here and there, and then when they open, so we get to the gang in there, we have to go there, operate the same thing.
And these were all Manitoba Pool elevators?
All Manitoba Pool elevators, yes.
I see.
They was good at the time.
Yeah, I guess. Well, there was. I grew up in Manitoba on a farm, although my father sold grain primarily to Patterson, so he didn't flow through the pool. But those were good years of production too.
Well, all would depend from the farmer.
Yes,
the farmer produces the grain, and we manage here.
You put it through.
And we ship them, and we feed a lot of people.
You do indeed. Yes, yes, indeed. Could you describe a typical day, I think from morning to end, what sort of day it would be? You'd get to work at...
When we started from the shovel and everything, remember, we have to work a lot of overtime. We shovel 3 nights a week, 8 hours on days, and then we come back for another 3 hours after supper, and continue until 9:30,
mm-hmm.
We dump. But then, after a while, they put 2 shifts on. Later on, you see, they get the crowd, and then they put 3 shifts on.
3 8-hour shifts?
3 8-hour shifts, yeah.
So it's around the clock?
Then around the clock, yeah.
Yes. And I guess within the day, is there... What kinds of breaks did you have during the day?
Because we in the work all the way, you get a little break, you eat whenever... you get the chance, or you give it 20 minutes for lunch, and then the coffee and so on, you take whatever. Not everybody can take on the job, but anyway, because the job was easy, you watch the machine, stop the machine because you gotta take your coffee. You continue.
Yes.
You keep it going.
Yes, really, you don't, I wouldn't think of the elevators as being sort of a process industry like an oil refinery or something, or a chemical plant, but in its way it is. Or a paper machine, which just keeps running, but the elevator is somewhat like that.
Well, the machine, the one operated, you don't do nothing, you just operate the machine.
Yes.
And maintain, you clean around, whatever it has to do,
Yes.
Yeah. The ship coming in there, a lot of boat, an assemble, you need the guys on the skill floor, the guys at the office give the order to work. The bin you gotta open.
Mm-hmm.
We get the sheet, the same thing. We take the sheet, see what it is. Then when you get the light, open the bin, make sure the belt go. Don't spill. If you spill, you gotta clean.
Sure. Keep it all as tidy as possible.
That's it. The guys on the shipping gallery, they watch the green over there to go on the boat, all that kind of things.
And when you went on after the millwright course and on maintenance, that would change the day somewhat. It would be sort of unpredictable, I guess, depending on what needed to be done.
Yeah. But then you start to get a little problem a little bit, you know, you start to feel, see, it's okay in the summertime, but I mean, when in the wintertime, 20 below zero, and the boss says, well, tomorrow we're going to take apart the machine. It was a little bit, see, then my arm started bothering me a little bit. And then, you know, you feel, because you can work with the gloves, because you got to manage the small bolts and the parts you can go with, thing. Not too many clothes, and then you start to feel, says, maybe better get out of here and take another course.
To do something else.
Well,
yeah, oh yes. We interviewed someone who worked removing equipment on the elevators in the depth of winter, you know, when they were out there on the outside cutting.
If you're there, maybe.
Well, this was
pull three.
This was Morris Grinstead, who worked. He was a sheet metal worker, so it was a company that would be hired to do this work, and he described winter conditions as well. And
that was good. But I'd been all over the places, just about in the elevator.
Yeah,
good work, good job. You do your job, and nobody but you. All the good people to work in there. All the friends at the time go nice, sure. You know.
Yes. What kinds of maintenance problems did you face in the elevators?
We get the machine over so many hours, maybe over 7 years, we have to overhaul. You have to take all the machine apart. We take them all apart and put all the new parts in.
Mm-hmm.
From the bottom to the top, because he's used to scraping everything, and now I clean them up, then he started ordering the new parts.
Condition one of the machines.
Well, most of the time in the summertime, 3 weeks, two guys, one in the back, one in the front of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
We take them apart and we put it back together. Yeah. With 3 weeks.
That's the time to do it in the summertime when it's warm.
But in the wintertime, when it's cold, it takes a little bit longer because
Yeah.
And then sometimes you have no parts, and then you have to wait for you do something else. See.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because you'd have to pull it apart to know what needed replacing.
Well, you make sure you put it back where it belongs. That wasn't a work.
Yes, indeed.
when you touch the button, maybe if the green is supposed to go one way, they go the other way.
Yeah, you don't want any parts left over when you finish the work. Yeah. It should all be in there.
Yeah,
so you don't want any extra parts, then you want to be sure that they...
Take a little common sense. You watch one, you take apart.
Yes.
We never went in a school for this. We learn together in there. Cylinder, they have three cylinders. One the big one outside, the one small inside, and then inside they have a screw in there. You got to wait apart. You know, you got to put them in the right way while you do.
So that would mean
stacking
them aside carefully, or you put labels on things sometimes.
No, we don't put on labels. We used to mark it here and there. We used to mark a little bit.
There were manuals for these machines as well. Did the manufacturer had provided books to?
No, the manual they don't give you nothing. The machine is there for decades. We just go whatever it is. You take them apart and then you put it back together.
Yeah.
You start from the bottom, one side, and go three, and then you come back at the other three.
Mm-hmm.
Three, and three. Some of it, then we make them a little bit bigger, we put the four, but the fourth one on the top was higher, it was more difficult to do it up there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But we managed.
How high would the machine be?
Maybe more, yeah.
So you need scaffolding
more.
Scaffolding around it to work on it, I suppose.
Right? No, just the two sides, and the front and the back.
Yeah. And the person who took it apart put it back together again.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't, most of the time, exchange ends.
Yeah, but the company, they put, says, okay, you and you tomorrow, you go start this, you work in there, you don't go work. And then the rest of the middle right, they go, if you have any blockage, something broken, then you go replaced.
Yes. How many millwrights were there in the elevator, in any one of the elevators?
We got 10, 12.
Per elevator?
Yeah, each other.
Of course, there were three shifts at this point. Were there then, so you'd...
Yeah, I wanted to shift the special night. The time we worked the most.
Most of the overhaul.
But we don't run overhaul at night. No. We can't get the overhaul just on days.
Sure. Okay.
The night is just to maintain the rest. Then they get another four or five shift metal, the shift metal job they got to do.
And those would be hired from outside?
No.
Or the sheet metal?
No, we work.
You had those as well?
Yeah, we got those as well, yes. Yeah.
How many men were there doing this kind of work? Not the grain unloading and putting it through, but this kind of support work in maintenance. How large a crew would that be? Is more than the 10 or 12 that you were saying?
No.
That would be the support staff.
Oh, yeah.
When did you become a foreman?
No, I don't remember the years when I was there.
Did you do it for quite a long time? Or?
No, I think I was for four or five, six years, maybe more.
Early 90s then, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you were a foreman, were you a foreman in the maintenance or for the...
I came for a man on the car shed. I just operated on the car shed to organize it. You look after your men and that. They give you the gang, they give you the dumper man, the one to ride, somebody go put the oak, the winch man.
Sure.
Three, six, four, eight, ten people.
Sure.
And then you look after the cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
The people, you got to clean the mess someplace, and you get up the clean, because otherwise the grain, they start to explode after. You got to keep speaking Spanish all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Manitoba Pool made sure that the elevators were clean.
Oh yeah.
I think I've heard of dirty elevators, but that is dangerous.
Yeah, we got a couple of men. Today, maybe sometime you get all the way, you get some spare people in there. Says, okay, you go clean this area here, go clean. We got the big one, maybe more people go there and clean about.
Yeah. When you became a foreman, how many foremen would there have been in that whole elevator?
Well, the foreman on the car shed, and then the rest of the foreman was inside.
Mm-hmm.
The rest, the best men, they don't need the foreman. They just one guy or two guys. Then just everybody take care of himself.
Okay.
And the rest of the foremen, they just go looking for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I think, one or two on days, and one each shift anyway, one take it to shift, yeah.
So you were making sure that you were responsible to keep the grain coming out of the car shed properly.
You go there, they give you the light, you make sure you send the grain up.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if you have a problem or not, you got to send the grain up here.
Well.
What the grain. If you don't give them enough, you hear them and say, some more.
Sure, I see. Good. Yeah. And you enjoyed being a foreman, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. But that's easy. You're a good man. You get along with the people and that work with you.
Yeah. With the gang that you were working with, were they all Italians? Or?
No. Yeah. All the kind of, whatever it is, whatever they're coming in there, Italian or whatever we are.
Yeah.
Just.
Who was the superintendent of the elevator when you were a foreman?
Superintendent was, wait a minute, Steve Umanik.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call him, the other one? Cooper, George Cooper. There was Gory. I forgot the last name now. Passon.
Gory
Passon, yeah.
There were, the Malins were...
The Malins, yeah.
Were also involved with, worked for Manitoba Pool as well.
Yes, yes.
And were they superintendents or were they managers?
No, there was superintendent, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Malan, Jack, Mr. Malan is the father. He was good superintendent. Mm-hmm. He's acting like a superintendent, I tell you. A respectable man and respect the people and everything.
Yeah.
Then his kids came superintendent too.
So we've interviewed them, so that's why I was wondering whether we get to them.
Yesterday, the day before yesterday, I see Brian and Simpson Caesar, we talked.
Sure.
Very nice people.
Yeah, they impressed us as that. They certainly, what they described as the style of operation of Manitoba Pool is the style you're describing as well, that people worked well together.
For me, I tell you, all the good, my old superintendent, as far as I remember, even when before I was on with Shaul and that, all the way the people respect. When we started, with the Scotch and I, we and the Shaul, the first time you never know how they working there.
No.
We Shaul ten guards the same as the rest of the people. There was Bill Stewart, I think it was the last name of the superintendent at the time. It was a nice skinny guy that came in there. He came in the field in the heart and says, ooh, a lot of muscles.
I understand how you guys did.
But the field no learning for 1 week. But we, for the first day, we shall the tennis guys, the same everybody.
Yeah, you met the standard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. By the way. Yeah. You were a member of the union as well. Were you all members of Lodge 650?
Yeah.
Of the Green Handlers?
One UF2, yeah. So, yeah. See, over there, you don't have to join. As soon as you reach on a seniority, automatically you you start to pay.
How long did it take to be on the seniority list? Was it?
They take 60 days.
After 2 months?
After 2 months.
Or is it 60 work days?
Yeah, after 2 months you get in on the seniority list at that time. Yeah.
And then you became a member of the union.
And we, in 1959, for 2 days, we never get on the seniority list. That's why we have to wait. Casa de Oliveira was not too much, not too busy for a while. We get a little slack. But I had no problem.
Yeah. Got to get the Liberals back in power, right? Conservative Tory times are hard times. I remember some of the guys, I was in Parliament, of course, during the Mulroney government, and there were people who were very happy to say those sorts of things when they were in government.
Oh, they're big.
Your first experience of a Canadian government.
Well, they get this job to do it, so.
Yeah, they've got jobs to do for sure.
Yeah.
When the elevators were on strike a couple of times during those years, I guess, there was a strike. What was it, in the late 60s, was there?
Yeah. Oh, you know, it was around 70, 68, 70, because we've been quite a bit on the strike at that time. But we was lucky because we didn't have enough seniority, we get laid off, eh? So we go work in the construction. If you're not, you got to stick it in. And that time, we wanted to give you $25 a week for the...
Come strike
on,
pay, eh?
How you can support your family with the
home?
No.
I see, so my family wife, depended on your income.
Depended on my income, yeah.
Yeah.
I supported my wife and 3 kids.
Sure, you had to.
Yeah.
Had you married before you came to Canada, or did you marry here?
I wasn't married before I came here.
Yeah.
So I get the wife had 2 kids in Italy. And the kids, 2 born in Italy, 1 born here.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then I bring the wife here. I see the things go okay, pretty good. I said, start to build a little bit, make a little bit of money to support, and I bring the family here.
Sure, as it should be.
Well,
family reunification, another good government program. Who was leading the union in those days?
Frank Mazur.
Already in 68, 70?
Frank Mazur, yeah.
Good old Frank. What did you think of Frank?
Frank. Frank for himself, Frank.
He was for himself, did you say?
For himself, oh yeah. But the union is good, sometimes the union is not good for the people.
Yeah.
Not because you want to say against the union, but the union is good for the lazy people. The people, but if you working people, you do your job, nobody bother you.
Mm-hmm. If it's a good workplace, that would certainly be true.
Yeah, the second time they went on a strike, more or less, there was no right, because we fight, at the end of the fight there, what they offer the company the first time, we get at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody told me, when we went in the meeting at the labor center, they said, what we went on a strike for? We send the money the company offer. Oh, put the head over the head. Well, pin it here, pin it there.
How long were you on strike that time?
That time I don't remember. I think about around 3 weeks, I guess. Mm-hmm. 2-3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, it gained you nothing.
What they offered before, with the sept or whatever there was in there, they back to work. So.
Yeah. Well, I've been told that you never want to strike for money because that's risky. When you're on strike, you don't get paid, so can you make it up afterwards?
Yeah, but
you need to be striking for something else, like a pension plan or something, you know.
Well, the pension after there was a voluntary, whatever you want, when they come in, they put it in, that was no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody want to enjoy. Everybody want the pension when you retire, you know.
Yes. Did Manitoba Pool have a pension plan as well?
Yeah, yes.
And so you're receiving...
We had, yes, yeah.
Yes, you're receiving money from that pension plan are you?
Sure.
Even though Manitoba Pool is gone, Viterra has been sold out to...
No.
But the pension plan continues.
Oh, yes.
Good.
Yeah. The pension plan, they no holding no more the money. The money after they transfer to the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
From the insurance they pay. Now, if you pay him, you can take for 5 years, for 10 years, or 15 years. But you still have how long you live, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Like me, I take for 15 years. So if in case something happened to me, you know, I can support the castle a little better, the family, eh?
Yeah.
I take me a little longer. But you get more if you get for 5 years.
Higher amount.
Higher, yeah.
Yeah, or larger amount.
But it depends on which way you figure out what's better for the person, anyway.
Sure.
So.
Yes. Yeah, well, those are the decisions that you do want to make. The when you became a foreman, I guess you weren't in the union any longer, or?
No.
Were you still?
No, you pay.
You were still in Lodge 650?
Oh, yeah, still you pay, yeah.
I see.
Yeah, still you pay.
Superintendents wouldn't be, but...
Maybe superintendent, yeah.
But
maybe,
foreman continued in. Well, yeah. I'm glad to hear that, because you do want the protection of a union just in case, you know.
I don't know for the foreman who work in the office, if I think it still was paying anyway, I believe.
Yeah. But, how many people were there in the office, in the elevators? In Manitoba Pool.
No, I can. I don't remember exactly. I mean, there was more or less anyway.
Yeah.
But all the way there was maybe 3-4 men, or the superintendent, or and the rest of all the green inspector kind of stuff. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the Manitoba Pool would have its own inspectors, and then the Green Commission people were there.
They had its own inspector. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, what would you like people to know about the work you did through these years? We're doing a recording here which is supposed to last forever. So what would you like people to know about the work that you did?
They can know everything I done. Don't make no difference for me. It's good because nothing, I know that nothing wrong. You do everything as to help the people to keep it going.
Yeah.
It should be for me, everything can get.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, even I retire, wherever I go, oh, this is Tony. Hey, hi, Tony, you know.
Yes.
My few was a better guy. He says,
yeah.
Who wants to? You know.
There are a lot of retired elevator employees in Thunder Bay, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You belong to the Italian. To the cultural center, I suppose, as it is called now. And
No more now.
Oh, you don't?
No.
So I was wondering how many of the people who go to meetings there would be grain handlers. Do you have any idea? Were you a large number of the people who were active in earlier days?
You mean
the Italian Hall?
Oh, an Italian hall. We used to go for a drink in there.
Sure.
Just go for recreation with each other.
Right.
You know, we go in there and this time, you know, we're not belonging there. We don't do anything in there with them.
No.
But
were a lot of grain handlers enjoying a little relaxation there?
Oh, of course, sure.
Yeah.
We used to go there. We used to go on the Slovakia for William and there. Oh, yeah.
The Slovak Legion.
Sometimes we get 1 hour for lunch. And you finish a little bit early, have your lunch, and then we go in there, we have a couple of beer, but not long, have a couple of beer, go back to work. That was a good time, I tell you.
You wouldn't drink in the elevator.
Well, no.
Did it happen?
Well, no.
Okay. We've heard stories. What might interest or surprise people about what you did? I guess to go back to the question I was just asking, I mean, you were playing a part in moving what the farmers in Manitoba were growing, moving that grain to markets, international markets.
I mean, yeah, of course, yeah.
You were playing an important part in that. Were there parts of the job, as you think back about it now, that might surprise people to know?
No, I have no idea where they can surprise them, because everything they do there, all the group they work for Manitoba Pool and the group of the Green, all the way, well, they get graded in and they clean them and then ship them out and let it go. You know, produce some kind of, you are in a producer line, eh?
Yes.
The rest.
Did you have farmers visiting from Manitoba at all? Did you ever meet farmers who
no.
grew the stuff? Or did they come here to
No, they see used to, yeah, they used to come there, but we don't, you know, when we just do our own business. They just come around, all the sherry order thing, they come around, spat the thing, look, see how they go in the things, yeah. And they go and that's all.
They're with the superintendent or with someone from the office, I suppose, anyway, and they'd be watching you at work, but...
No. They don't. When you got the job to do it, you don't care the superintendent or the boss come. You, if anybody comes, you continue to do your job, what yeah. you do.
Sure, yeah. sure. What are you most proud of in the work that you did?
Oh, I enjoy. I enjoy very much the was with the Millerite. Even after the foreman is more headache a little bit because you know, you got to deal with the people and they work with you there, so whatever. But nothing was good.
Mm-hmm.
All of the rest was good.
Sure. Yeah. And you're proud of the fact that when you're on the street and someone sees you, they're greeting you. They have happy memories of working with you.
Yeah, but if you've been a good guy.
Yes. But you have, you were a good guy.
When you're there, you work, but you work at the family in there. You're not, because sometimes they can help you or you can help him. Eh? You work yeah. together.
Sure.
But today, you know, so for the people, they've been good, they've been bad. When you go outside, I don't want to see them.
No.
Get out of their way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hardly have to ask whether you were contributing to Canada's success in international trade. I mean, you were keeping the grain moving.
That's it.
And that was a contribution sure. for sure.
Yeah.
And obviously, these questions were put together by some of our lady friends in Winnipeg. And so the next question is, describe any connections you see between your work and the work of farmers growing the grain, handled in the grain trade. Well, you were handling it.
Well, that's what we handled, oh yes.
That's right. And these questions about changes. Over the years, there were changes that took place in the way in which it was done. When you were mentioning, for example, the boxcars were cleaned, were emptied by the shakers that were put in. Were there other, and then of course hopper cars came along. Were there other changes that were made in the elevators over the years that you remember?
No, they can't do any other changes. That's where they come from. The boxcar, they came the tanker, and the tanker, after the boxcar, they get the dumper to dump that way. Before, we used to buy the shovel. That's the change. They change. Then when we get the dumper, it was much better because we get the machine in there, the cars, excuse me. Then when we get to the tanker, they go easy too, because it used to open the hatch in the barn.
Yes.
Before we used to open it with the bar, big bar, you know, some of it was hard. But after we get to the little machine, a little thing, you insert the machine in there, touch the button and open them up. Close, yeah.
So it became really easy.
Yeah, really, yeah.
yeah. And what would have happened in the elevators? I suppose there was pollution control, dust control machinery, equipment was put in so that the elevators didn't produce so much dust. Did you notice that?
They was good. They was good.
Mm-hmm.
We, matter of fact, when I was with the maintenance and there, we used to go change the filter.
Sure.
Once in a while, the filter get the dirty damn thing, we go clean them. Yeah, it was very good, yeah.
Yeah.
The big change. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure it was, because the elevators used to produce a lot of dust for the city, didn't they?
Yeah. It was go all over the place, yeah. But
if you go over to a car, yeah, you'd see the gray dust on the car.
But that's the thing, the filter, they help quite a bit for the big stuff, but the smaller one still go out, you see.
Okay.
But the filter will, yeah, you can see a little bit, but,
yeah,
you know, but they had a good job. It was, sure, good. Yeah.
Did you ever experience any explosions in the elevators?
No.
Because the big ones, of course, are disasters on the waterfront. But.
My time working there, we don't have to know. Of course, we check all the bin. Every, yes, bin has to be checked once in a while. If you guess you keep some stuff too long,
yeah,
you gotta go, let it go.
To make sure it's clean.
Take it out, and let them hit them out and put it back, you know.
Yes, yeah, yes. And I guess in maintenance, that would be part of the job, to be looking things over carefully. And
no, the maintenance, we just have something, yeah, we go repair. This is when you work in the elevator, the foreman and the working foreman, mm-hmm, they go around and check this thing. Sure. Like you work in the annex.
Yes.
You know more or less than the office, then also how many days is still in the business, and you got to go change them.
Sure.
Yeah, and the guys that work on the annex, you know, if you feel something, you report on the offices, you know, something wrong here.
Yes.
You know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Were there any other changes that you noticed over the years in the,
no,
taking place?
That's as far I know there, yeah, anyway, so for my time I've been in that.
Yes. Would you, the other question with that is, what impact did these changes have on your job in the industry? I'm guessing that some of the changes made the work a lot easier, in the unloading particularly.
Well, sure it was easier. For what do we do by the hand?
Yeah.
Only with the muscle, and with the mask on the face, you know. But after when they change this thing,
yes,
very rarely people use the mask.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have any physical?
No.
Nothing that
your
lungs are fine and so on and so
lungs
forth.
Lungs fine.
Yeah, you're.
My daughter always asking me if I can walk 1 mile now.
Oh yeah.
Without the stop.
Sure.
But that's 82 years old. So
yes. Oh, quite.
They look okay.
Yeah. Well, that's.
Yeah.
You came out of it healthy. That's,
yeah,
great.
Oh no. Yeah.
Then there are questions about challenges. Besides dealing with these changes, which involved improvements, were there other challenges that you faced on the job?
Well, you just work, you do all the time the same stuff tomorrow. No much of the challenge, because you do today, and then the next time, one day or another, you got to do it again. Or another one is the same thing. So.
An awful lot of routine.
An awful lot of routine, yeah.
And you, fortunately, you could live with routine.
Yeah, you change it because of between when you change the job, like from the shower, then you go on the dumper, then you change it when the shower ends, now you go better.
Yes.
When then they come with the upper car, you change again because,
yes,
they go with you don't operate the machine, you just open, sure, them up the bar and whatever, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you was there automation in the elevators as well? More and more equipment. Did they were there reductions in the workforce? You know, people let go because they weren't needed any longer, or did that happen?
No. So far, they don't need that much. But then, what happened? The people retire. Then, if they don't need, they don't hire another one. They, yeah, just. If you four men, you retire, and maybe they put another guy to the four men, the guy come behind, you know.
Yeah.
There was a model, that was good.
And if there was a reduction, they could use retirements, people would leave and they wouldn't be replaced, I suppose.
No, nobody, I don't think any elevator, yeah, they retire because they had no job.
Right.
The time they come, they want to retire, they want to fail too.
Sure. So over those 35 years then, the workforce at Manitoba Pool Elevators remained pretty steady, constant, at about the same size workforce through all those years. Did Manitoba Pool then survive the changes that took place, came into effect and so on? Was there still as much grain moving through the Manitoba Pool Elevators then?
We used to move lots of sort of steady. We used to move the grain in there.
Yes.
So, of course, the busy time in the summertime and the winter time.
Yes.
You just maintain, repair the machine, sure. Keep it going. We ship some, some by the boxcar.
Yeah.
We ship them by the
this is
the tank or whatever there was.
To the St. Lawrence by railway.
Yeah, by the rail.
So Manitoba Pool did some of that as well.
Of course, but everybody, they have the share. Eh?
Yes.
The elevator.
Sure. I wonder, I'm thinking about the situation. I suppose Manitoba is closer to the St. Lawrence Seaway system, so that for Manitoba farmers it probably continued to make sense to ship this way. Saskatchewan, Alberta, it'd be more tempting to go to the Pacific. Did you feel that at all? That there was
I don't know. Now, today, I can tell you where they do, because of the, before there was the green.
About what's happening these days. Who knows?
Who knows? Now we don't know now.
No.
What are they going to do there, eh?
Yeah. I won't get into the history of the grain trade, but I do worry about it on behalf of the farmers. They built these pool elevator companies in the 1920s, and they lasted about 75 years or a little bit more, and then things began to go awry. Really, after your retirement in the last 10 or 15 years, there have been great changes in the organization of the industry, but that really all happened after 1998.
Yeah, especially Thunder Bay, they shut all the elevator for some reason, I don't know. They went away, they went down after I retired anyway.
Yes.
But
through the period that you worked there, you didn't have that wasn't happening.
No.
Manitoba Pool continued.
No, it was going just normal, everybody, like every year.
Quite stable in employment.
Stable, yes.
Sure. Did the union organize any, or did the company for that matter, did you have a Christmas dinner?
We had.
This would be the company, though.
Company, yeah.
Yeah, and were there picnics in the summertime?
In the summertime we used to go on a picnic for, we play the game ourselves, pull the rope between the two elevators, two company, whatever, win or whatever, lose.
So you'd have a tug of war.
But
this would be at a picnic, was it then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just go in a bigger park and had it.
Yeah.
But in the winter time, Christmas, all the way, Christmas dinner.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the company would give you gifts as well, or?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see.
We go in there, we all drink in there. Most of the time, I forget now the name of the one of the bosses, they was have supper with us, same thing, those people from Winnipeg.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
From head office.
Yeah, from head office, they came have dinner with us. Yeah.
I guess we were thinking already about challenges that you think the industry faced over those years. It sounds as if Manitoba Pool didn't really, from your experience, didn't find itself facing that much in the way of challenges, or if they did, they overcame them.
Well, at that time, since I'd been in there, they was good. They were the Manitoba Pool all the way. There was pretty good going. But after I retired, I don't know.
No,
you don't know no more.
See, you retired at age 65. I was doing the arithmetic, 1933, 1998. So you were 65, and
65, yeah.
Take up the government pension as well, and so on, that you were entitled to. And,
that's it, yeah.
And settle into a comfortable life, having earned your retirement.
Sure. Yeah. But the people, they got to pay the pension with the company, because with the Canada pension, you go too far.
Not enough.
Not enough, yeah.
No, absolutely not.
But you don't burn everything. You got to save for the holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, so you had savings in addition to your
pension. Of course I did, yeah.
Mike, could I ask what the Manitoba Pool pension, how much it is or how much it was? Could I ask that?
Depend how much you contribute.
How much you got per month.
Yeah. Did I get, I think I get $1,100 a month, one pension, another pension, I get $600, because we... First, the company was invested 100%.
Okay.
The sum of the money go up, but then you don't get much money. You don't pay much in the pension.
Yeah.
But then the second pension, we all of the money we contribute ourselves. Then they pay good that one.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. And then you can. You know, if you only...
Thank you for telling us.
You reach around...
As you deserve.
And you can go on a trip sometime, too.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
That's right.
Trip back home to Italy.
Well, of course, you got to save it. Don't...
Sure. Well, let me see your most vivid memories about the job. Do you have any particular memories that really stand out?
No, I don't have nothing, no memory. I've been good with everybody, friends with everybody.
Sure.
The memory is good, they never go.
One good day after another.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it was a good every day.
Yeah. Except maybe on that cold winter weather when you have to go.
Well, yeah. That's nobody's fault anyway, so.
The work has to be done, I suppose.
It has to be done, yes.
I don't know. Do you any thoughts about the most important events that happened in the workplace during your career?
No, I don't have any.
Much of a muchness is one of those phrases. Sort of day to day, it's more or less the same. Do you think that it's a good idea for us to do this?
Write the book tomorrow, some days you're going to do something. It's nice to remember these things. Oh, look at these things, eh?
Yes. Well, we aren't writing the book yet, but I think you're all going to expect us to do that. And
some of the younger generation, they happen to read this book. Some say, "Oh, that's my dad. Oh, this is my friend of mine."
Yeah.
They've been such a.
Yeah.
That's good.
Perhaps next week, or
to write the book.
Yeah.
I do think about it. I think about the various stages in the history of the grain trade, and this latest stage is quite different from the earlier ones, and I am thinking about that, but not next week. Question, Owen?
I asked this question of a lot of the people come into Thunder Bay and then find work and stay. When did you say you came to Thunder Bay? What year was it?
1959, February. Yeah.
February.
Yeah.
So you got you came in by train or by plane?
Montreal. From Montreal here.
What were your first impressions of Thunder Bay?
Well, at the time...
Port Arthur, right?
Port Arthur, but it was here looking like nothing. Just a little small shack and just a small house. I said, what the heck? We're going to rebuild something here.
Why did you come at the time? It's February February in particular, a winter month. And then 1959, business was a bit slower those years. And I don't blame that on John Diefenbaker.
Yes,
there were other things happening that made business slow in those years.
My brother was here, and he said, because he was working with Hagwall, and the construction says...
Hagwall Construction.
The construction says, if you came now, maybe I'd be able to sneak it in.
Get positioned for the summer.
If you come here now, he said, I am able to bring you in. You know, then I get the job. But then when I came here, he changed. He go work in Saskatoon with Barma car wash for a while. It was good too.
Well, it's warm inside, steam around and so on. Yeah.
The first check I get, I think it maybe because it was 90 cents an hour. I'm making $90. Boy, $90. It was the money that time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it bought a lot more.
Where did you live when you first came here?
I live at 36 North Windermere with my brother in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had a house to go to?
Yeah. And your brother was with Barnett McQueen, the engineering and construction company?
No, he
was engineering, am I right?
Yeah, he engineered a company, but he was working on the car starts.
Sure.
He was he started from the smaller one, and then he started to be a machine operator. He not like the shovel too much.
Not so good with the muscles.
No.
Right? Oh, he's got it up there, does he?
More up here.
Yeah.
Is there not a Manet construction?
Manet, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was he doing?
He got his own boss.
That was a significant glance. What was he doing in Saskatoon?
He built a bridge up there.
Oh, he's building a bridge?
The bridge thing, yeah.
I see. Nothing connected with the grain trade at all.
Then. No, not with the grain trade. Yeah.
No. Right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that that it turned out well. But, of course, this sort of linkage, how long had he been in Canada, your brother?
My brother came in 1953, I think.
So you'd been here about five or six years then?
Before, yeah.
It was.
Then I came in 1959.
And did anyone else in your family come then, or was it just the two of you brothers?
No, my brother came first, and then because we have to have, they have to have somebody.
Sponsor them?
Sponsor you. So he sponsored me, and then he sponsored
Did you sponsor someone else?
My the gun, and then my brother-in-law and my sister with two kids. Mm-hmm. There is Bruno Contracting.
So you're related to the Bruno Construction.
That's my nephew.
Well, your nephew. Thick as thieves, as the old phrase has.
That's my nephew, Bruno.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Weren't there hockey players from your family, too, or is it?
No.
I saw a Manet, though. There was a Manet playing hockey, but it must be another part of the family.
Oh, the coach. Okay. Oh, one of my son, my brother's kids is a coach.
Okay.
There, see? You've got a famous name.
Construction and sports. The, yeah, the Manet name is out there.
It's a coach, yeah.
Did you play soccer when you came here at all?
No, with the soccer. We had a busy to go make...
You're too busy keeping in shape at the
to other to make for piece of bread to survive. You had to make it born.
I'm sure. Are there any things that you could tell us about? Are there questions that you would ask of yourself?
What to ask? So what?
We've done a pretty good job of looking through your life, have we?
Well, it's a life.
Yeah.
So.
It's been a pretty good life.
That's what I said, yeah.
Canada's been a good place for you.
Beautiful, yes. Yeah.
Have you gone back to visit very often to Italy?
Oh, I've been a few trips back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, before you had a relative in there, all the way, you know, wanted something, then you had to go.
Sure.
Oh, I've been 4 or 5 times back in there.
Over these, what is it now, 40, 55 years or so, I guess.
Well, yeah, but before this, I went back to take my family back, and then I went... I take my wife back, then the kids, one at a time, three kids at three times. They don't want to go together, okay, one at a time. So one time we go, we take one of the kids, another time one of the kids, take it all back and forth to see where we came from.
They wanted all of Daddy's attention, one-on-one, eh?
Just to see that's the farm of what we've been coming here. That's the little shack we used to live, you know, this thing.
Make them grateful they were living in Canada, eh?
Right. If you see something, then when you hear, you'll be glad what you got.
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea.
Then I bring him a Cuba.
Cuban holidays?
Two kids. Bring all the three, two kids in Cuba there. And then to my grandson, too, my grandchildren.
Yes.
To show the people how they live in there, how they risk to when they come back here, you see where we get here.
Makes them grateful.
But I don't know if I did it good or not, but that's where
it could work.
It could work, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the only other question that I see here really is there are a couple of questions. I don't suppose you have. Any memorabilia? You didn't smuggle anything out of the elevators.
No. They pay you. One of the somebody, you, I work with you. You pay me where my wages is. Why I have?
Sure.
There are hockey rinks built in Thunder Bay at the Green Doors, and
Well, I'll say something after we finish the interview about about this grade trade lumber, actually. Are there any other people we should interview? John nominated you and Gino Perry and Gino,
of course, yeah.
Gino Scucci as people we might interview. Are there any people you would think of that we might interview?
But maybe you should get to Mullen, maybe because they was the superintendent. That's what I think.
We have interviewed, back and remind myself, we have interviewed two of the Mullens.
Brian Abelli? Brian Abelli.
Do you remember?
Well, I was with one of the...
Yeah.
One of the... I think it was Brian.
Certainly, I think Brian, I'm sure we've interviewed.
Yeah. Well, the rest...
He's the key one, eh?
He's the key one, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, well, that's great. Well, thank you very much for giving us this time this afternoon.
You're welcome. Very welcome. I might be glad to do this.
It's been a great pleasure to meet you and get to know.
Of course, I don't remember all the way exactly where they all the ways that time you've been in there, but try to do the best to.
Well, you've done a good job.
To remember.
Yeah. Well, it's been great. You're making notes on what said when, are you? And
yeah, that's right. I'm just catching up.
Are you going to shut the machine off now then? Or since we're finished?
Well,